So we continue our study entitled The Praying Life. And the theme to tonight's Bible study is God's place in our prayer life. Or where is God's place in our prayer life? We're going to start in Psalm 77. We're going to read verses 1 through 9, and then we'll have a short word of prayer. And then we'll get into the Bible study this evening. The Bible says, beginning in verse 1, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. This psalm was not written by David. This psalm was written by Asaph. He is he was David's choir director, or he was one of the chief musicians in the days of David. But let's have a word of prayer, and we'll look at some things tonight. Lord, we ask and pray that you bless our Bible study this evening. Thank you for the opportunity that you give us to gather tonight. We ask that you would meet with us in a very special way. Be with those who are watching this evening on live stream. We pray, Lord, that whether it's here or whether it's at home, that you would just draw each of us, again, into a closer relationship with you. Please help me as I bring this lesson tonight. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we read through this psalm. It's evident that Asaph, as he writes this, is kind of going through what we might call a desert time in his prayer life. He's wondering just where God is as he brings these prayer requests to me. And sometimes, maybe this hasn't happened to you, but it's kind of happened to me at times, that it seems that we go through a prayer time, it's kind of a desert experience. Almost, we kind of think that God is absent, although we know always that God is never absent. We get convinced at times that God is absent, but he's always there. But the question tonight, as we look at this Bible study, and we're also going to look at a text in the New Testament as well, is where does God position himself in our prayer life? We would like to think he's always right at the center of our prayer life, and to some degree that's true, he always is. But I want you to kind of think of some things tonight as we look at this and kind of get some thoughts with regards to that. David the psalmist in Psalm 13 and verse 1, in fact you can find this kind of a theme in numerous places in the Psalms. David said, how long will thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? And how long will thou hide thy face from me? The same kind of thought. David is wondering, God, where are you as I make these prayer requests to you? What's happened? In the book of Job, same thing. Job asks that question some numerous times. And again, we're tempted to think that God is just not listening, especially when we don't get an immediate answer. And the psalmist here has these questions. And look again in verse 7. Lord, will thou cast me off forever and will be favorable no more? He asks the question, is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? He's questioning, well, where are you, God, in all of this? And then, if we were to take time, and we're not going to spend time on it tonight because I want to turn to the New Testament, but if you get into verses 11 and 12 and verses 13, his memory begins to kick in and he remembers how God has been gracious in the past. And if someone wrote this, they said this, They said, memory is a fit handmaid for faith. Memory is a fit handmaid for faith. Meaning there are times when in our faith and in our walk with the Lord does seem to be silent. And in fact, we're going to see that sometimes the Lord purposely is silent in our prayer life. But that's when our memory and the things that God has done for us is very important. We remember how God has worked in our lives. The same writer said this. I really like this. He said, when faith has its 7 years of famine, memory, like Joseph in Egypt, opens her granaries. I thought that was really good. Did you get that? When faith has its 7 years of famine, memory, like Joseph in Egypt, opens her granaries. And we remember, of course, the dream that God gave to Joseph, and that there would be 7 years of plenty, and there would be 7 years of famine. And when the famine came, they had plenty of grain in the granaries to feed the people. Well, faith is like that as well. We build up faith, we store it, and when it seems like perhaps God is silent, our memory reminds us that God has answered these prayers many times before. And just because He doesn't answer immediately, it doesn't mean that God's not listening. So let's take our Bibles now and let's look at an instance in the New Testament that the Lord deals with an individual. And Matthew, if you would, Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. I'm going to give you 3 points to the Bible study tonight. If you want to write these down on the back of your prayer list, I'll give them to you now. You can write them down. But here are the 3 points. Number one is this. We're going to see that prayer is often about discovery. Prayer is often about discovery. Number two, prayer at times is filled with ambiguity. Prayer at times is filled with ambiguity. And then the third point is going to be this, that prayer will ultimately cultivate our spiritual intimacy. It'll cultivate our spiritual intimacy. So in chapter 15, and beginning in verse 21, the Bible says this, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto Him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. So what is she vexed with? I want to make sure you're all with me. I know it's been hot, you're tired, and you've been working all day. So what is she vexed with? All right. Okay, that's pretty good, I guess. So she's vexed with a devil. But He answered her, that's Jesus, He answered her not a word. And disciples came and besought Him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But He answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of Israel. Then came she and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. But He answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. See there in verse 28 that phrase, great is thy faith. Here's a little Bible quiz to make sure you're still with me here. There's one other person in the New Testament, and I'll give you a hint. This person is a Gentile, also like the woman here, that Jesus says, great is thy faith. Anyone know who that is? The centurion. Very good. The centurion says that Jesus says that about the centurion. Interesting, but the two people in the New Testament He says that about are Gentiles. And so what happens here? So we see what's going on with the woman. She's got a daughter, obviously, who we've read that has been with a demon, a devil. And she's going to the Lord and she needs help from the Lord. So, our prayer life, I said this, all right, prayer is often about discovery. Personal discovery about who we are. And prayer, if we really think about it, of course, is our spiritual discovery, where we are spiritually. It determines or it tells a lot about where we're at. So as the encounter unfolds, we see Jesus and His participation, we see His place, and as it emerges here in this situation. And I'll say more about where His place is when I get to the second point of this Bible study. But we also see the personality of the Canaanite woman emerge. And prayer is about that as we spend time with the Lord. Listen, if Jesus had automatically just answered her prayer, and it's not that at times Jesus sometimes does when we go to the Lord in prayer, answer our prayers immediately, but if it had happened in this instance, we would know very little about this woman except that, number one, she was a Canaanite, and number two, her daughter was vexed with a demon. But there's a give and a take. There's a dialogue. And our prayer life is, that's what prayer, if we're not careful, our prayer life just becomes a list. And, but prayer and meditation on the things of God, it's about that. It's about developing our spiritual personality. It's a developing and understanding who we are in relationship to Jesus. When prayer just devolves into just a list of things, and there's nothing wrong with a list. You know, we put out a list on Wednesday nights to remind us. But if it just devolves into a list, then we're robbing ourselves of developing that relationship that Jesus wants for you and I to have. So there's a give and take. So let's look at some things. What does she recognize about herself when she approaches Jesus here? Well, she recognizes this. She recognizes her weaknesses and her vulnerabilities. We've talked a lot about that as we've dealt with this whole topic of our prayer life. She declares her broken heart and her utter helplessness. Look at verse 22. So behold, the woman of Canaan came out of the same place, and she cried unto him. There's passion in that cry. There's desperation in that cry. She has a daughter that she is grieved about, this daughter, and we don't know all the details, but this daughter has been vexed by a devil. And she's brokenhearted about it. We see that here in this encounter. Her helplessness. She displays a determination that Jesus was the answer. As she presents this before the Lord, and as we get into this, in verses 23 and 24, you know, the disciples really they say, look at verse 23. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." But she's determined. She said in verse 25, she came and she just continued to worship. She's got a determination. She has set her sights, her prayer life, and what prayer life is about. She set her sights on the only hope that she had in this situation. And the only hope that she has in this situation is Jesus. That's what prayer is about. Amen? Our hope is Jesus. And she's determined to continue to bring these requests to the Lord. And she displays, as we look at all of this, and this whole personality about her is developed, this, she recognizes her vulnerabilities, she recognizes that she's a very determined woman, we recognize also this, that she's an extremely humble woman. Verse 27, she said, "Truth, Lord, yet dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." She recognizes that, yeah, all right, I'm not of Jewish descent, but even in a home, the word dogs there, by the way, it's not talking about a mongrel. The word dogs there, it's actually talking about a little pet dog in somebody's house. Now, our dog is a pet, but he's not little. And our dog loves it when the grandkids come over, because our dog knows that when the grandkids come over, and not the older ones, well, maybe, but there's usually some food on the table that makes it from the table to the floor. And Duke has a feast. The other day they were out eating on the patio, and Duke was looking out the window as they were eating their lunch, and Duke was probably thinking, I want out to the patio because there's some goodies out on the patio. But that's what the picture is here. The woman, she's just of a humble spirit. But our prayer life, when we spend time, when it goes from just being some list, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and we talk to the Lord, and we meditate on the things of God, and we pray, and we converse with the Lord, it really just exposes or it develops our personality, who we are. I was reminded of James 4:8 when I was putting this together. What does James say? And I think the woman displays these characteristics. James said, draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. She displays that in her life. But then I said, secondly, prayer at times is filled or can be filled with some ambiguity. So what is ambiguity? It means things that are obscure, things that are not definite, or maybe they're unclear, they're uncertain. There's a vagueness. And do we see some of that here? From Jesus' perspective, there's some ambiguity in this relationship, but it's deliberate on His part. And I want you to see that, how sometimes that works in our prayer life as well. And there's a reason for it. It's just not random. There's a point to this. So notice this, verse 23. So she brings the request to the Lord, and what's Jesus' response? Well, read it out loud with me, won't you? Just those first several words, let's read it out loud together. But He answered her not a word. There's silence. There's silence. Have you ever brought a prayer request to the Lord, and there just seems to be silence? Well, He's silent here. Someone said this, I wrote this down as well. They said, every accepted prayer is not necessarily an immediately answered prayer. And I want you to think about that as we go through this second point. Every accepted prayer is not necessarily an immediately answered prayer. He's quiet. The Lord is silent right now. He's not answering. He hears her, but there's no answer to this. Well, again, the disciples, they came and they said, Lord, send her away, for she crieth after us. Now, there's two thoughts to that. Either the disciples, in some of the reading I did, either the disciples are saying here, Lord, just send her away. We don't have time for her. Or, Lord, just answer her prayer and let's be done with her and move on. In either case, they're not really very sensitive to the poor Canaanite woman. And it seems actually it's the second, because of the response Jesus has. When Jesus says, but He answered and said, I'm not sent unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel, He's really responding more to the disciples than He is to the woman here. And He's making a point here. Almost, He's reasoning, or the woman could almost, if she heard this, think she's rebuking Him, or He's rebuking her. But she's a determined woman. She knows she's a Canaanite and He's Jewish. And Jesus makes the point. He came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But what's her response in verse 25? Then came she and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. So first Jesus is silent. And then it seems as Jesus almost as if there's a rebuke here. Certainly He's identifying the fact that He came for the Israelites. Well, then He says in verse 26, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. Almost like there's a reproach here. I already mentioned he's talking about a pet dog here. But what's her response? Truth, Lord. Verse 27, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. So do you understand what's happening here? Jesus allows a very difficult situation in the woman's life. And then where's his position? He's kind of lingering on the edge. He's developing her faith. His silence is developing her faith. The reason sometimes that God doesn't answer our prayers immediately is because part of our prayer life is to develop our faith in the Lord. We would prefer an immediate answer. And our tendencies when we do not receive an immediate answer is to just kind of move on. Oh, we might pray another, we might pray again about it, or we might pray two or three more times, but if it seems as if the Lord is silent, we just kind of move on. But this woman, persistence. This woman's having a dialogue. This woman is pleading her cause. Nothing is more pleasing to the Lord. We know because he talks about importune prayer. Nothing is more pleasing unto Christ as to have his people follow him in faith, even when he seems to withdraw. Sometimes Jesus withdraws purposely. It's to grow our faith. Sometimes Jesus is silent. It's to grow our faith. Sometimes Jesus raised questions in our lives to get us to think about things. The whys and the whats and the hows and the wheres. But every obstacle, it seems, is a growing moment of her faith. She's waiting upon the Lord. And she's cultivating a spiritual intimacy which would be crowned with the words that Jesus spoke about her when Jesus said, "Oh woman, great is thy faith. Great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And the Bible says her daughter was made whole. Listen, everything was against this woman when you think about it. First of all, as she approached Jesus, her nationality was against her. She's a Canaanite. She's a Gentile. The rabbis of the day, they would have nothing to do with this woman. She wasn't Jewish. And the very fact of the matter that she was a woman, her sex was against her. They wouldn't have had anything to do with her because she was a woman. All of this was against her. The disciples seemed pretty insensitive to her needs. Let's just be done with her, Lord. And even some of the response that Jesus, as he responded in dialogue with her, it was not to rebuke her, it was to build her faith. And again, she was crowned with those words, "Great is thy faith." But we see she had already been introduced at some point to Jesus. We know that because obviously somewhere before all of this took place, she had been introduced to him. I'm not saying personally, but she had heard about him because what does she say about him in verse 22, the middle? "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." She recognizes that he's the Messiah. She's putting her faith in him. She responds several times, end of verse 25, "Lord, help me." Verse 27, "Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs." She had knowledge, some knowledge of the promised Messiah. She knew the prophecies perhaps concerning the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the Christ, that he would be the son of David. She had heard that. She perhaps had somehow been exposed to that. And here she is. She's taking that faith that she had and she's allowing it to be built. But that's all part of her requests and her prayer life. The hindrances that were thrown at this woman only increased her faith. And that was all Jesus doing. Sometimes we think we're quick to say, our prayers are being hindered because the enemy is attacking. Listen, there are times that Jesus is going to be silent. He's just building our faith. We're learning to wait on him. There are times that Jesus is going to come to us and reason with us and question, as he did with the woman, as he made these comments. It's a time of building our faith. And as our faith grows, we develop that spiritual intimacy. That's all part of our prayer life, our talking with the Lord. And when we rob ourselves of our prayer life, we rob ourselves of a growing faith, we rob ourselves of spiritual intimacy, we rob ourselves of a dialogue, a back and forth with the Master. That's our Bible study for tonight. Where's God's place in our prayer life? Well, it's really, I guess, always at the center of it, but sometimes, you know, it's kind of like raising children when you think about it. If you've raised children and they reach adulthood, at some point, you have to step to the side and you have to kind of watch them do their own thing. Well, in some ways, Jesus does that with us as well. Sometimes in our prayer life, he kind of is just on the edge. And not that he does not want to be involved. Of course he's involved, but it's part of the growing process, part of the maturing process, part of the walking by faith process. You know, that's our Bible study for tonight. Let's have a word of prayer, and then you can go ahead and spend some time with the Lord. We'll close out our live stream right now. So those of you that are watching tonight, thank you for joining us. And we hope you have some good prayer time at home as well. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you'd bless now our prayer time. Let it be meaningful. Lord, help us to know sometimes that when our prayers are, or you seem to be silent, you're always listening. And that you have our best interest always at hand. And you want us to grow in the faith and walk by faith, live by faith. Now bless this prayer time in a great way in Jesus' name. Amen.